If you could take your seats again, we have a few announcements. How many of you know that we are a busy church? We like activity. Some of us like more activity than others. Coming up, the month of March is going to be very, very, very busy. On Saturday, March the 10th, in Eustis at Farron Park, there is a chili cook-off that is sponsored by an organization called Unify in Hope. And the proceeds of this chili cook-off are going to go to help the homeless in Lake County. There's a group of churches that are working together to discover how to care for the homeless people in our community, which, you know, those numbers are just growing rapidly all the time. I forget the number of school-age children in Lake County that are considered homeless. It would boggle your mind. I'm not even going to try to quote a number, but it is unbelievable. Anyway, that's March the 10th. The following Saturday, on March 17th, is the Men's Wilderness Retreat. You need to sign up with Scott or whoever's manning the table at the back. If you're planning to attend, please go ahead and sign up so we can get a head count. We would like if you can pay your $10 now, but it's not required. More importantly, we would like to get a good head count of people who are coming. No meeting today. Okay. The week after that, during the middle of the week, starting on Tuesday, March 20th, we have Pilgrim's Survival Journey, which we talked a little bit about last week. There is a great insert in all of your bulletins about it. Please read it. We encourage everybody to get involved in some way or other, and especially church. If you would mark your calendars for Saturday, March 24th, we want you all to come to Juniper Springs for a picnic lunch. Bring lots of food. It's the climactic end for the hike, and when all the hikers come off the trail, they're going to be starving to death because they've been eating bugs and acorns and stuff like that. And so they really enjoy a good meal. And so bring fried chicken and potato salad and desserts and all that good stuff and join us on Juniper Springs, March 24th. Last announcement, John Bronson asked me to announce that his life group time and date has changed. Please see John, because I don't remember what he said it was from or to, but it has changed. See John if you want to go to his life group. This time I'd like to introduce, Pastor Buddy's coming with her, I think, and Kimberly Walker, Pastor Buddy's wife. And she's going to share testimony of how God has been moving in her life in the last couple of months, and then she's going to pray over the offering.
I want to thank Robert and Sean for allowing me this opportunity to speak to you. I just have had so many prayers from everyone in this room, and also Buddy has had people praying for me all around the world. And I really want to glorify God with how I've come through this. Many of you know that I had a very rare cancer in my salivary gland that they took out, and the surgery itself could have paralyzed my face. You can tell it's not paralyzed. I know. Praise God. Because I talk in front of people for a living, so it would really be hard to do that. And then, because it was cancer, which they were really surprised about, I had to go through 62 treatments of radiation, which is twice a day. And if you ever know anyone who's had radiation, or if you ever read anything about it, to prepare for that, I was just like, oh my goodness. But I'm here to tell you, I didn't experience any of that, and I'm just amazed. The worst thing was the nausea, and I lost some hair, but you can't tell it when I wear it down. But the symptoms of radiation were just, read about them, it's just horrendous. But God didn't allow me to experience that. And I just really want to say, if anyone goes through anything like that, please know it's God's report we need to believe, and it's what He's going to tell us. And I just want to glorify Him and how He's brought me through that. And I'm very thankful and very blessed, and my husband and family were just wonderful. I just had visions of him having to take care of me and do lots of stuff. He did, but not to the extent that I thought he would have to. Would you agree? God really helped me. He really gave me a peace about it. So if you ever go through something like that, please know that you need to sense God's peace and presence, because He will surround you, and He'll make sure He'll take care of you. So, thank you. Okay, we're going to have the ushers come forward. I just want to pray over the offering, and this is something I've wanted to do for a long time, so when they asked me, I was real pleased. I've always been a cheerful giver. I believe all of my money is God's money, as a very smart lady once told me, Brenda Williams. I'm like, you know, do you give off of your net or your gross? And she said, do you want net blessings or gross blessings? And it is all his money. And I remember her telling me that. And I said, well, I'd like him to trust me with a little more of it. So I always, if God puts it on your heart to give, please give cheerfully and joyfully, because it is all his money and he will bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done in my life. Please bless everyone that's here. Let us feel and sense your presence. Thank you for having Theo and his family here. We're looking forward to his presentation and his speaking, Heavenly Father. Please bless the money that's coming in. Let it be used for your kingdom and the advancement of your kingdom. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a great joy for me to be able to introduce my good friend, Reverend Theo Bob, this morning, and his wife, Linda Bob, who is a city commissioner over in Eustace, their daughter, who is here with them today, and we are so happy to have you here. I had begun to hear Theo's name, several years ago, primarily connected with the Lee Academy School right up the road. So I realized that Theo was involved in education. And we began meeting with a group of leaders in our community, and we've become very concerned about racism in our community. Sometimes my daughters come home from school and they tell me how bad it is, the kind of things that are going on and the remarks that are being made. And so we wanted to begin to understand better what some of the issues were, and we invited Theo to come and meet with that group of leaders and share his life story with us as a young man who grew up in Eustace and went through the whole desegregation era, and some of his experience, went into the military, and saying that he would never come back to this area again. Grandma used to say, Theo, don't ever tell God what you're not going to do. So he's back. Theo is also a pastor. He's an associate pastor over at Trinity Evangelical Free Church. And he also is involved with an organization called Community Coach, working with young people that are going through the teen court system. And so Community Coach provides counseling for these young people. We have some other connections together, things that we're praying and asking the Lord about. How can we partner together, work together on some things to minister to our communities? And so it's a great joy to have you here this morning. And Theo, if you would come and minister the word and out of your heart. And I heard a lot of amens this morning when Pastor Robert was speaking. I just hear amens around the congregation. And some of the music that was selected this morning, I could hear you responding. The video we watched, again, just hearing a lot of response from the congregation. So I know the Lord is really speaking to all of our hearts. Amen. I started to tell him, Theo, we go fishing together too, but I didn't, you know, I kind of felt like that was not for them to know. Theo and I both like to fish, so if we get to go fishing, that's a great experience. And we talk about the Lord and his work while we're in the boat, don't we, Theo?
That's right. That's right, brother. Thank you, buddy. God bless you. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, yes. Thank you. Amen. Glory. We're so glad to be here with you today. Our God is so good. And so awesome. We're so glad to be here today to share with you. And thank you, buddy, and thank all of you. And last week as I came in, I kind of said, better go check this place out before I go to preach. Amen? Thank you. And seemed like there was a lot more people there last week. I think they heard I was coming. And Amen. But we're so glad to be here. And I said, boy, that bunch at Whistling Pines, I said, you know what? You guys y'all not good church people, and I'm glad. Now, you're not good church people. Y'all just good people. Y'all just straight up friendly and warm, and I appreciate that. And so I thank God for the opportunity to be here. I thank God. My wife, as he said, is here with me, and my wife Linda and our daughter Lydia, they are here with me as they so often travel with me when I have to go, when I go places to get the opportunity to preach. Also, we were pleasantly surprised because our niece Chloe is here. So she doesn't know it yet, but in my family, they know when I'm preaching, I use examples of folks in my family. She doesn't know it. Amen. So. No one's safe. Let's go before the throne of grace in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you. God, we love you with all of our hearts, all our minds, and all of our soul, Lord. We thank you for, oh God, so much that you've done for us. But first and foremost, we thank you for your son, Jesus, that you sent to pay the price for our sin and to cover the penalty that we should be paying. Thank you, Lord, for sending him. And God, more than that, thank you for raising him up. And Lord, we look forward to the day when he returned in his glory, in your glory, to take us unto yourself. And so, God, until then, Lord, let us be. Oh, God, find us faithful in doing your work, doing your will in our lives, oh, God. Find the church faithful, doing what you call us to do, loving and sharing this gospel and drawing men and women and children unto you, Lord. God, we thank you. Now for this time today, Lord, we pray that you have your way, Lord, that you, oh God, move flesh out of the way and allow, Lord, your spirit to just move freely, oh God, that you take this broken, weak vessel and God, that you just speak through it. Anything you want to say, Lord, in any way you want to say it, be glorified today, God. We'll be careful to give you the glory, give you the honor, Lord, because it all belongs to you. We love you. We praise you, God. And I thank you, Lord. And together with all God's saints, we said, amen. Amen. I'll try to be brief today. I know that you guys, I was enjoying that the presentation there and with the brother. There's a lot of history. My daughter said, hey, I didn't know that. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for your warmth and your hospitality and your welcome. But I want to share with you a little bit today. And I'll talk a little bit about my past, my history. I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about our Lord Jesus. So I'll share just a little background, though, so that you're not totally surprised that I end up where I am. And I am most of the time surprised. But amen. As Buddy said, I came to the Lord Jesus, and I was a captain in the Army, and I remember I was at Florida A&M, my alma mater in Tallahassee, teaching Army ROTC, and I had just given my life to the Lord just a few years before then, and I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do with my life, I'll gladly do it, Lord. My life is not mine anymore. It's yours, Lord. And then God began to speak to my heart about returning to Eustis in Lake County, and I said, Lord, time out. God, wait a minute, I'll go anywhere now. I've lived a lot of places. I'll go back to New Orleans. I'll go to Milwaukee. I'll go anywhere. I'll go to China. They've been there. They want to go. I'll go anywhere. I'll go anywhere. But Lord, not Lake County, not Eustis. Please don't send me back. In fact, I said, I ain't going back. And what God said to me then, and he always said to me when he really wanted to put a fire under me, he said, do you remember Jonah? So here I am, 21 years later, after God brought me back here, changed my heart, made me want to be here. But let me back up a little bit. I'm a young man who grew up in Eustis, Florida, and of course I lived a few other places in my life. But my wife, Linda, and I came to Eustis from Adel, Georgia. By the way, we were both born in the same hospital, 2 months apart. That's another story. But our parents moved to Eustis when we were 2 years old, and we grew up here, went to schools, and went off to college and had careers. And somewhere during that time, as my days in the Army were in, and after having grown up in Eustis, I can tell you that growing up here was very tough. I grew up in the public housing. It was very tough in the early 70s, late 60s. I'm going to give my age in a minute. I'm not ashamed of that. But anyway, late 60s and early 70s, very tough. I picked a lot of oranges here, worked a lot of watermelons, and did all those kinds of things growing up, single mom in the housing projects. But listen, when I had an opportunity opportunity. You see, God is so awesome. God will do, now I understand, exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. Boy, for me, like me coming from the projects, end up in college. Glory to God. I know it had to be. God was working in my life long before I knew it. But anyway, I ended up going to college and I came back. And see, here's something that happened to me. As we show the Black History stuff, as we have, here's the question that that people will ask. Why we got to have a Black History Month? Why we got to do that? When we going to have White History Month? When we going to... Amen. Because here's what happened. People start thinking, why we got to do? Why we got to have a Hispanic American? Why do we have to do that? When I'll tell you why. You always want to know. Here's what you got to know about myself and my family. If there's anything you want to know about black folk, we'll tell you. So feel free to ask. We'll tell you. We feel that that's our job. Let's share with the brethren. Here's why we have it. It's because there are a lot of things and a lot of facts that's been left out. There are a lot of things that you don't know, and even I don't know. Don't think I know everybody that's black and everything that's happened. Black. I don't. But there are a lot of things that we don't know that other cultures and other people contributed to the greatness of our nation and that get left out. So we take time out to recognize, hey, this happened and that. You know, we've been watching, we went to see the movie Red Tails about a couple weeks ago. And, as you know, it's about the Tuskegee Airmen. And you know the thing there that they said, black people just not smart enough to fly airplanes. Yeah, cause that's what they said. They're not World War II. You cannot put them in air, you don't have the capacity to do that. And you know the story. I don't want to spoil it for those of you who haven't gone, but we know what happened. They not only flew the planes, but did an extraordinary job. So, but this is the kind of thing that we try to dispel the myths that come about people of color, that what we haven't been able to do and what we are not capable of. And we're going to go on a little bit. I'm going to move in a minute out of this flesh into the spirit. But I want you to know that the reason we have the Black History Month, the reason we talk about some of those contributions is because a lot of times we forget that our nation has become great because of all kinds of people. Amen. And see, that's what we have to remember. And sometimes that's it, we take that too lightly because see we assume that everybody has an equal footing and that everything's equal. Because we said now, all the opportunities are the same. Maybe not. But I want you to understand something. My wife and I grew up at a time where we all these changes, a lot of stuff has happened in our lifetime. Going back to the World War II, talking about the Tuskegee Airmen. That was World War II. See, my dad, Eddie Bob Sr., who is now in a nursing home in Adel, Georgia, where my wife and I were born, the same building. He's still in there. Anyway, so he was a World War II veteran. And understand something. In World War II, my dad was in a segregated army. Understand, his dad was in World War I, real segregated army. You see, you got to understand that in my lifetime, all the stuff that I've seen and done. In fact, we ended up in Eustis. Oh, I better not tell that story. But we ended up in Eustis because of some trials. But the bottom line is that we grew up in a time where black people just didn't have that many opportunities. Let me be frank with you. We just didn't have. Now, when we talk about history and we talk about black history and we talk about slavery as they talked about, I want you to understand something. It's not to make anybody feel guilty. It's not to do any place any guilt or blame on anybody. It's for us as a people of God to understand how the flesh and how the culture and how the system had gotten so bad that it takes God's people to correct it. Amen? It takes God's people with the Spirit of God to correct things. But anyway, going back, so a lot of we didn't have a lot of opportunities simply because we had grown up in a nation that was very much segregated, separate, as they used to say, separate but equal. Amen. If you don't know better, you're separate, wasn't equal. Okay. So, but even so, here we are in the early, in the mid 90s, after Linda and I had been married while we had this baby. I asked God for a daughter. And I don't know why I did that, but I asked God, give me a daughter. I didn't, when we had fostered some sons, I wanted a daughter. So like Hannah, I said, God, give me a daughter. So he gives me this beautiful little baby girl. And now we had practiced, our niece Chloe is here. Like I said, we practiced on her because she used to spend summers with us when she was a little girl. So we got to practice some. But here's what happened. So, as God gave me this daughter, even now when we start talking about black
history. She's a 10th grader at Eustis High School. When you start talking black history, this kid has to go to school, and she really have to go through a lot of stuff. Kids ask her, why do we have to have a Black History Month? Why do we do this? They use the N-word around her. Yeah, they do that. They still do that. In fact, when she was a little baby, when my wife went back to work, our daughter had an opportunity. We wanted the very best for her, for our daughter, just like you want for your kids. We wanted the very best for her, so we put her in the very best preschools around. Our daughter went to Sunshine School and Blue Lake Academy, and there wasn't too many people look like us that were there. And so her whole life, she grew up not thinking of color. She grew up thinking about the Word of God and the people of God. She didn't know any better until she was 3 years old and at Blue Lake, when the little white girl was passing out invitation to her birthday party, she said, black girls can't come. My 3-year-old daughter, listen, as black as I am, I turn red. I said, you mean we got to do this? We got to do this? My daughter's got to go through this too? We're better than this, folks. We're better than that. My daughter got to go. We went through. My daughter has to go. The integrated schools, when Linda and I were about, 13, 14. And, of course, I had lived in Chicago and Jacksonville and Chicago. And don't believe it when they say, no, we didn't have that problem. That's a lie. I didn't know anything about going to school with white kids until I came back to Eustis and forced integration happened. And I found myself at Eustis Elementary School. I was one of 3 black kids there. No, there was 4. And so here what I found out was, and here's this real old white-haired lady. She says, class, this is our new kid from Chicago. His name is Theodos Bob, and he's going to be real smart because he's going to school in Chicago. Are you kidding me? I went to school in inner city Chicago where I didn't live where Michael Jordan lived either, okay? I lived in what they call something around here ghetto. They don't understand. No, I lived in the worst parts of Chicago. I didn't learn anything because it was all about running from the gang so you can stay alive, watching other kids fight the teacher. That's what my life was about. And not to mention we moved every 3 months, and that's a whole nother story. But let me fast forward because I want to get into the Word of God. But I want you to understand that we had to evolve. We had to go through stuff. 1968, I was 13 years old. That's when I returned back to Eustis. It was the worst year of my life because during that year, that same year that Dr. King was killed and assassinated, I saw riots and I was scared. Let me back up. Even 1963, when we were in Jacksonville, my dad, when President Kennedy was killed, I just as a kid, I couldn't understand why all this violence. But finally, man, 1968 was horrible. It was horrible. And I moved back to Eustis that year because my aunt died, and I came back, and here we are getting ready to desegregate schools. It was tough. I can't even begin to tell you. But again, not trying to make anybody feel good. I want us to understand so that we can walk together as people of God. And anyway, so I want to fast forward. There's so much I want to share with you. I really need to move on so I can get to the Word of God. So when God got my attention, I was a 32 years old, living in New Orleans in the Army, captain in the Army, having had a good life, let me digress a little bit. When I left here and went to attention deficit, so bear with me. Okay? Meds hadn't kicked in yet, so work with me. But when I left here, when I grew up in Eustis, after having been in Chicago, you got to understand something. When I was a kid here, there was nothing. I had no reason to believe I could ever succeed in anything. After all, when I was growing up, and let me tell you, kids, my daughter called us dinosaurs, but she don't really. When I was growing up in Eustis, you know, it was a long time. We had televisions, but it was later when we got color television. You said, oh, God, he's that old? Yeah. But listen. There weren't many black people on TV when I was growing up. Okay? There weren't many. I remember seeing Sidney Poitier. I remember when Bill Cosby showed he was the guy on I Spy with Robert Culp. And so there weren't many role models, as you will, for black people. Everything we saw was white. So guess what we thought? And we were taught intentionally, and we saw everything that was good was white. Do you understand in 1955 in Brown versus the Board of Education in Kansas, when the law was passed about separate but equal schools, not Constitution. Do you know what they used in the trial as one of the examples? That they took the white dolls and they took dolls of different colors and they put it in front of the little black girls. They said, which doll do you like? 100% of the time, you know what doll they picked? They picked the white one because that was the only thing, that was what was considered beautiful. You understand what I'm saying to you? That it was a process. See, slavery may have ended in 1865, but it was 1965, and we still can't get in schools. Are you hearing me? So this thing is real. So when people kind of blow it off, in fact, the kids told my daughter, slavery wasn't that bad. See, they should have drug tested that kid right there. But you understand what I'm saying? It's horrible. The long-reaching effects of it was still affecting us. Because when you take a people and you break them and you break their self-esteem and you tell them they're never, it's terrible. When I was a kid, again, growing up, and never dreamed of going to college. And see, everybody, all the males in my family had gone to the military, and I was set. I was going to go to the military. No problem with that. But do you know something? I never knew that there was such thing as black officers now, and you know, we find about Tuskegee Airmen now. I never knew that black people, when I left and went off to college at Florida A&M University, here I was 19 years old, and for the first time in my life, I saw professional black people. I met black attorneys. I have black PhDs. And I'm going, huh? And the guys teaching me were Vietnam veterans who were officers. Well, we didn't. I ain't know nothing about no officer. You joined the military. I ain't know no difference. But you understand, at 19 years old was the first time I was exposed to positive professional black people. You say, how can that? 19 years old. Who help me, Holy Spirit? Let me move, Lord, out of flesh. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And as I went throughout the military as a young lieutenant, I experienced some things that I was not prepared for. I was not prepared. See, at Florida A&M, they taught, just like Tuskegee Airmen, they taught you, you're as good as anybody. You can do this. And they taught us all that, but what we were not prepared for was what we were about to face. Amen. When I went to Fort Stewart, Georgia, as a young second lieutenant. In fact, before then, I went to officer basic course in El Paso, Texas. Most of my classmates were West Pointers, and they were mostly lighter hue, the brethren. So I learned a lot of tough lessons very early on. But I want you to know at Florida A&M where they exposed us to, I met General Chaffee James, first the black general in the United States Air Force. I met people that I never thought I would meet. I was exposed. They intentionally exposed us to positive role models. Saints of God, it's about the body of Christ. It's about, I'm sharing with you to help you understand what God did in my life, in my lifetime. So as I was in the Army, and God got my attention. In 1987, I was stationed in New Orleans, Louisiana. It's where I came to know the Lord Jesus. That's where I surrendered my heart. In New Orleans, Louisiana. Amen. Are you hearing me? Sin City number 2. I gave my life, surrendered my heart to the Lord Jesus in 1987. 32 years old, captain of the United States Army. I was doing anything I thought I was big enough to do, and I thought I could do anything. But God got my attention in 1987. In New Orleans, Louisiana. And I recall that Sunday at the Word of Faith Church, which by the way was a white church, if you will, but was really starting to draw all kinds of people. I went in that church, and I want you to know that day when the gospel was preaching, God through His Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and I run down that aisle and gave my life to the Lord Jesus. And God began to work in my life and to work in my heart. And I was so hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. I want you to understand, we need to get back to the fire we had when we were first saved, and we do whatever God, the Word said, do. It was dangerous. Amen. I shared this with people. It was dangerous when I was a new Christian. It was dangerous to go to a funeral with me, because I'd walk up there and say, "Get out in the name of Jesus." I said, "Man, you can't do that. Don't do that." Jesus told Lazarus, "Come forth." I go to the funeral. I said, "I think I'm going to go up there and say, 'Come forth, get up out of there.'" Why? Because I believe the word of God. I believe if God's word said it, he will perform it. So even now, we need to get back to that church. What we believe, what the word of God says, he will perform. Let's do it. And God has been speaking to my heart lately. Get after the minister to them new Christians, because see, them new babes in Christian believe the word and act on it. Sometimes when we got mature in this thing, we get a little bit too sophisticated and we say, well, yeah, God can do, but listen, when you're in Christ Jesus, we got to stand up and say, yeah, God can do it. Amen. I ain't coming to preach to you none of that stuff, but let me go to 2 Corinthians 5, where I really came to preach about glory. 2 Corinthians 5. In the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. If anyone be in Christ Jesus, he or she is a new creation. You're born again. We're not rehabilitated. We're not re-educated. We're reborn. Are you hearing me? A new creation. A new creature. Old things have passed away. We're now new. We're not the same as we used to be. That old army captain died that day in New Orleans. And the new birth, the new man, the new saint in Christ rose up. That old man was dead. I want to share with you from this word of God in 2 Corinthians, because we got to remember that we're not what we used to be. Yes, we know that our history has been tough and it's been hard and it's been some bad things. But guess what? If we're in Christ Jesus, we're new creation. Amen. We're a new creation. And what we have to do, saints of God, we got to be the example for the rest of the world. We can't act like the people in the world. We can't allow the culture to infiltrate us and let us think it's okay for on 11 o'clock on Sunday morning for the black church to be over there, the white church to be over here. We can't let the world get away with that. We can't accept that. By the way, as I taught through schools and talked to young people, is that I reminded them every time I had the opportunity, yes, slavery was horrible. Yes, the stuff we went through was horrible in desegregation. But you got to know something. There were people of all colors who stood up in the name of Jesus and they defied the law and said, we will not live like this. God's people stood up. God's people stood up. And it's amazing when we started to study and find out how many white people gave their lives during the civil rights movement. How many white people gave their lives during slavery. Do you think the Underground Railroad was successful just because Harriet Tubman did? No, it was successful because they had safe houses of God's people who said, I'll shield and protect you. God's people. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, oh Lord, I haven't even begun to preach. Over at Trinity, they got a clock they keep down there in front of the preacher. And when I get ready to preach, I cover it. I turn it around, man. There's no clock, man. Amen. I turn it around. Amen. Thank you, brother. I think I will. I turn that thing around. See, look here. We in a hurry to go everywhere. Where you going to go to lunch? We're in a hurry. But sometimes we just got to sit still for that word and let God, let his spirit just saturate. Let that word saturate us and make us new. And see, because I don't believe in the going to no church. We are the church. Amen. You don't come up in here and leave out the same. No. We come in here. We hear the word of God. We let it take root and we let it change us. Go out of here different, on fire to change this community. We don't have to accept things the way they are. In fact, we are change agents. We're to go out of here with this word of God and change our world. Right. Change it. Don't accept it. Oh, hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, glory. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there before 2 o'clock. We're going to get there. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and first of all, before he was beginning, the Apostle Paul talking in his second letter to the church at Corinth, is talking to the saints of God about this new life. He's talking to them, first of all, he started out, I love to preach this when I'm doing funerals, 2 Corinthians 5:1, it says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He started talking about resurrected bodies. He started talking to them about, we got it made. Jesus has died for us. He has come. He has given us a new life. He said not only that, he's going to resurrect these old bodies. He's going to turn them into something new one day. See, this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. We can't go to heaven just like we are. We said, but I don't want to die. He listen, he said, this stuff can't go there. Can't operate there. He said, but guess what? For we know that if your earthly house, and when this thing is gone, he said, God's got a new one for you, a better one. He said, for this, and for in this we groan, man, we just can't wait to get out of this thing. We say, but I don't want to die. It's something about your body. I don't like it. As you get older, stuff happens to you. You start hurting places that you didn't know. What is that? My wife and I both now hop around these knees and you go, so what's wrong with you? Well, you're just getting old. I don't like it.
Amen.
Right. Glory to God. Anyway, he had said, but thank God he had said in 2 Corinthians in 4, chapter 4, he talked about, though we're wasting away day by day, outwardly we're wasting away, but inside, the new man, inside, we're being regenerated day by day. We're growing stronger inside. Although this old frame is fading, we're getting stronger inside. Why? The Holy Spirit is doing his thing. We're being renewed day by day inside. So we got to get the inside on the outside here. Watch me. All right. Now, so he's saying this new thing that God's going to give us. Oh, glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5. Now, he who has prepared, 5:5, he has prepared us for this. What thing? He's preparing us for our resurrected body, for our eternal destination. He said, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Thank you, Lord. When we were born again, he gave us his Spirit. He put the Holy Spirit. He had told the disciples, he said, I must go away. He said, I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be raised up. He said, but guess what? When I'm gone, I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to ask him to send you another comforter, somebody just like me. He's going to be in you. Because he's in you, you're going to be able to do the same things you saw me do, even greater. He's going to be your teacher. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to be your everything. In fact, he says, to your benefit that I go, that the Father can send him to you. He has done it, folks. He's done it. When we became born again, he gave us his Spirit. We're not just flesh and blood. We're not just what we look like. We're more than that. We're supernatural beings. Jesus, where is he from talking like this? His Spirit is in us. We're supernatural beings.
Hallelujah.
We can do stuff that people in the world can't do. What the sister said, she said, you have chemo, man. You come out of chemo, you look like this. And it's bad. But she gave her testimony. God shielded her from all of that stuff. Well, that's supernatural. Oh, Lord, let me go. I don't want to get stuck on you. Oh, Lord. Whew. Verse 6, and I got to go all the way to chapter 6, but I'm going to speed up. Fret not. They said, man, don't y'all never invite that joker back. He's keeping church all day. Anyway, in verse 6 of chapter 5, so we are always confident knowing that while we're here at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We know, listen, when we close our eyes here, we go out of this body, we're with the Lord. But while we're here, we're not with him totally, okay? For we walk by faith and not by sight, in verse 7. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I know it's bad to think about death, but guess what? He's saying it's better to be with the Lord than to be here. As long as we're here on this earth, we're going to have trouble. And some of the trouble we have is this racial stuff. Can you imagine getting to heaven? Oh, that's a black person. Oh, that's an Asian, or that person. Come on. Do you think that's going to be important? No. So, I don't think it ought to be that important now. Except to help us to learn from each other's experiences and learn how to love better and to learn how to understand so that I can walk side by side with you. That's the only purpose in it. Oh, yeah. black people cursed because of Ham. When black people really weren't even descendants of Ham. It was Cush. I don't want to get there. All right, let me go on. Where was I? 2 Corinthians 5. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, in verse 9, he said, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, meaning whether dead or alive, we make it our aim to what? To be well-pleasing to him. If you kill me, here's the devil said, you're going to, the devil done told me so many times, you're going to die. Told me that yesterday, I wasn't feeling good. You're going to die. I said, listen, if I die, I'm going to be with him. If I live, I'm going to live for him. So you choose. What you going to do? What you going to do? As they say, you can imagine. Can you imagine somebody threatening Lazarus after he was raised? Hey, I'm going to kill you, boy. Okay, so what? Do it. See, we got to learn to look the devil in the eye and say, take your best shot. You lose either way. For we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 10, he said that each may receive things that I'm almost done. Let me go. That we all may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, either good or bad. Now watch this. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your. Now Paul's talking to them about reminding them of his ministry and what he do. But I like this part. We know the terror of the Lord, so we persuade men. Now I'm getting ready to get into the meat of what I want to do before I finish. He say, we know the terror of God. What does that mean? We know that if a person die and they're not in Christ Jesus, they're lost eternally. So we need to persuade people of all colors, of all cultures, that listen, you're going to be, it's your, to your benefit that you come to Christ. Come to surrender your heart to Jesus so that you may have life and have eternal. When I see a person, I don't see somebody of color. I see somebody that God wants to save. Whew. Whew. Oh, Lord. In verse 14, 5:14, he said, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died, meaning Jesus, for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He's talking about you and I directly. He said, we don't even live for ourselves anymore. He died for us. We don't even belong to us. He called us to tell people, to draw people unto him. All people. All kinds of people. All kinds of people. All kinds of people. Are you hearing me today? Okay. Well, listen, let me share this with you, because it really has been a challenge for us as parents, because as I said, our daughter Lydia, she's going to be 16 soon. She don't know or does not. And we went to the African American Heritage Parade and Festival yesterday. She said, man, I didn't know all this stuff. I didn't know it was all this positive stuff. And she didn't. Because her world she's grown up in has been predominantly white. And what she's heard is people badmouth by black people, because they're judging and they're talking about their experiences with people who said, this is black, when your pants down and going boop, boop. Now, come on. So the people she's been around saying, so she didn't know all the positive stuff that go around. So we're trying to share with her. All she knows is this. You know, for those of you who got teenagers, and in particular teenage daughter, you know that when they start getting 15, 16, or even a little earlier than that, they start liking boys and boys like girls. Now, don't get me wrong. That's normal. I hope that's what they're doing. That's normal. But here's the deal. Her world has been predominantly white. So now, you understand, when she goes to church, she's predominantly white. She goes to school, but her world has been. So you see, as a baby growing up, she don't see this color thing like everybody else. So consequently, when she starts dating, she may date a white, brace yourself, she may date a white guy. She may date a Hispanic. She know that in our house, the rule is, he better be committed to this. See, as a father, listen, he can be green. I don't care about that. He better know. He better be committed to this. You understand? So knowing that, here's what my teenager do. She go out and became an evangelist. She began to invite all them hot boys to church. Because she tell them. Yeah, she tell them straight up. She, you know what? I like you. Are you born again? Are you a Christian? Well, no, but we through. Ain't that you? And then she started inviting them all to church. And so she, I guess she figured, if all the hot boys ain't saved, we're going to get them saved. That's smart. Think about it. See, because sometimes it's okay for my kid to play with your kid and go to school with your kid. But when my kids start talking about, see, we don't see that in our house. And my wife gave me a compliment one time. She said, when I'm talking about people, and she meet the people, she said, oh, I didn't know they were. Because we don't distinguish that. We don't, oh boy. Let me get back to scripture now. Yeah, y'all got to remind me where I was. Now, he said now, so in 14, he said, for the love of Christ compels us because we judged us that if one died, we talked about all of them. Well, let me go now. He said, now here's where I want to be. In 15, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, he said in the Bible, when you said therefore, let's find out what is therefore. Therefore, from now on, meaning after you've been saved, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't see people just in the flesh anymore. Now, because why? Because we're saved now. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We don't know him just as a man in the flesh. He said, because we're saved, because we're born again, because we're new creatures, we don't just look at people in the flesh anymore. We come to see them as something different. It's different now. We don't see people flesh. We don't just look on what color someone is or what color. We see them entirely different now. Amen. We got them spiritual 3D glasses. Christ, saint of God. Therefore, now he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. You'll hear people preach about that, and they're right. They say, our job now is to reconcile people to each other because of Christ. Yeah, reconcile people to Christ first. I believe that once you're saved and you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life, you will act different. You will act different because you have become different. You will see differently. See, this is where the church needs to be. We need to rise up and stop thinking about, I go to this church because I'm more comfortable there as a white. Forget about that. I'm going to be around the saints of God. I don't care where I go. I'll go to any city in America and overseas. All I want to know is where the saints of God. Where's a church that's preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified? I don't care what they look like on the outside. I'm going to be at home right there. No man after the flesh anymore. See, church, that's where we got to be. We got to know no man after the flesh anymore. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. See, you got to understand, I don't like people to refer to me as the first thing they want to say about me. Oh, he's colored. He's Negro. He's black. Oh, what y'all call yourselves today? African American. I don't want you to see me and that's the first thing you think. I want the first thing you think is there's a saint of the Most High God. I want you to think that's my brother in Christ. He's the real deal. Listen, we're going to serve God together. We're going to walk in heaven together one day. He's not just, he ain't just a black guy. He is the saint of the Most High God. Amen. No man after the flesh anymore. See, I believe, saints of God, if we begin to walk in this, if we begin to walk like the new creatures that he has made us, we'll have less problem with this race thing. It keeps raising its ugly head. And, oh, God, during campaign season, it gets worse. And here we go. We jump on that bandwagon. Do you understand? I figure out what I am politically. I figured that out. I'm a born-again Christocrat. I'm a born-again Christocrat. I'm not going to let this world system continue to put me down. I'm not going to let this world system describe who I am. You and I are more than that. We're bigger than that. We're greater than that. The God in us is more than what we look like on the outside. We're not just limited to a race and to a party and to all of that stuff. We're citizens of heaven. And we got to begin to act like citizens of heaven and stop going with this stuff. Let me tell you a secret before I close. President Obama really ain't black. Amen. He said, man, he is black. We saw him on TV. Do you understand that President Obama didn't go through? He didn't grow up no black kid. Yeah, here's I'm gonna tell you how you can really tell. Here's some examples. Yeah, something they had on the president was talking about something. He said, yeah, now that's what I'm talking about. Black people don't say it like that. Yeah, black people say that's what I'm talking about. But you see what I'm saying? We got to stop judging people based on this. We got to say, listen, there's a saint of the Most High God. Church, it's time for us to stand up and be the church and say, listen, we ain't playing that colors and race game no more. We're not doing it. We're going to stand up as saints of God. When I come over here with these brothers, I'm so free. We have a meeting around the table and we're so free. We can set what's on our hearts and we can just learn from each other. But we're free. It's so freeing when you get past that mess. Oh, all right, I'm finished now. Before we go. And I brought both Bibles. You know, I bring no. I don't know why I do this note thing. I don't use it anyway. But I brought both Bibles. I was going to read it to you in both. But I want you to feel my heart that, listen, it's about being new creatures in Christ. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And as new creatures in Christ, we live for Him, not for ourselves anymore. And they said, hey, come in comfort zone. Oh, man, come out of your comfort zone. Let Him take you to a place you've never known. Let Him take you somewhere else. Let him rise up in you again like when you were a new Christian. I think that one of the ways we're going to break this race thing and this color barrier in the church is that we're going to have to start raising up these multicultural congregations of new converts who don't care about that stuff. Let me stop now. Father, we thank you. We praise you today. God, listen, God, there's nobody like you. Lord, you've done everything you promised us when you sent your son Jesus back, when he rose on the third day, and he gave us his spirit as he promised. Lord, you've given us all we need to operate in this sphere. You've given us all that we need. All we need to do is just act on it and move on it. But first of all, believe it and then act on it. If we'll just do that, God, we'll change our world. We'll change our community. We'll change beginning in the church. We'll begin to change how this thing looks and feel, because people will know, as you said, Jesus said, they'll know, the world will know that you're mine by the love you have for each other. It's not about culture. It's not about race. And yeah, it's okay that we have that and we learn from each other, but it's all about Jesus. It's all about the kingdom. And Lord, we know that he's coming back again. We know that the Lord Jesus is going to come through the clouds one day, and he's coming for a church that's without spot or wrinkle. He's coming for a people who will proclaim his name, who have surrendered their lives. So our job is to reconcile people unto you, Lord, and to tell them about this risen Savior, and not pay attention to the color, not pay attention to what they look like, but Lord, to just minister to them this risen Savior. Oh God, change us today. Move what needs to be moved. Change what needs to be changed. Cut it off, Lord. Put us on your potter's wheel and change what you want. Shape us, make us, mold us into what you want us to be, Lord. Oh, God, we give you the glory today. We give you the praise because you're worthy. Let us be changed. Let us act like the new creatures we are, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And all God's saints said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go have your lunch in heaven.